Hello and welcome back to another episode of Biff Pal Bam, where I'm your host P-Dubs, and joining me as always is Tony.
Hello.
So we are a bit late. We know we've had other things to record and watch, and it's Christmas, folks. It's busy.
Yeah.
And we've got another show starting in a week now that we weren't expecting. So thank you, Marvel. When we thought it was going to be quiet, it's not.
And I know all the YouTubers are a bit pissed, aren't they, about it as well?
Yeah, and obviously now as well, they've announced that they're doing multiple animated series next year that we didn't know was coming. We thought we were getting one next year, and now we're getting three, I think they've announced.
We're getting the Echo Drops in a couple of weeks as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and that's been moved up a day now. That's coming out a day earlier than it was meant to. So it's not going to be as quiet as we thought it was next year. We have, obviously, we've got What If starting in just over a week or just around a week. Then we've got, as you say, Echo. We've then got X-Men 97. So for those of you that have been with us a long time, that's a continuation of a series that we had the showrunners on. Way back in the early days of this show, we were lucky enough to interview those guys. So we've got that. We've got what was meant to be Spider-Man Freshman Year, which is now Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. I believe it's been renamed to. We've got that coming. And the completely unexpected Black Panther spin-off.
I know there's a room, but it was going to be live action was the rumor, wasn't there, for a while?
But it is involving the original creative team from Black Panther. So it does seem like it's going to be a kind of continuation spin-off type thing from the MCU. So we're not going to be quiet as we thought we were going to be. There will still be some downtime. Also on top of that, we're both struggling at the moment, I think. So if any of us voices go
coughs and colds and allergies.
I had flu 3 weeks ago, just coming up 4 weeks ago. I'm still suffering from it.
So apologies if we cough too much to be
So I've been struggling with my sinuses and my ears the last couple of days from the back end of that. So that's fun. So that's why we're struggling a little bit time wise. But we are here to talk the final two episodes of Loki season two. Obviously, it finished a month ago, but we're just catching up, unfortunately. Excuse me while I take a drink just to clear my airways. So for any of our Scottish listeners, I'm having a nice can of Iron Brew.
Made from girders.
In Scotland. We're going to talk the final two episodes of Loki. So first one, episode five, was science / fiction. And this is kind of where the story, I think, kind of kicks off, doesn't it? The finale is across these two episodes, really.
Yeah, it's a two-part finale, effectively, isn't it?
Again, like we always do, we're just going to kind of pick up where we were and just pick up some nice notes. From the first shot, I noticed Loki has one falling tear down his face in that opening scene, which I thought was great on Tom's part. He's been a tour de force in this season. Yeah. And obviously, we've been with Tom Hiddleston in this character for nigh on 15 years now.
I'll just jump in. Because we had the Emmy, the Golden Globe nominations this week. And personally, I think some of the stuff he's done in this series was worthy of a Globe nomination.
Yeah, definitely. And we do get some creepy things throughout this episode. There is, I wouldn't say a horror tinge, but more a kind of thriller tinge to this at some point. Some points throughout this.
Particularly towards the back end of the episode,
Yeah, and also we get some stuff at the start as well with the multiple Lokis going through the building and kind of talking to each other and then disappearing and things like that. It's really creepy, and the TVA is very creepy throughout this episode.
Yeah, and an empty TV is weird as well, isn't it?
Very, very strange. And this episode also gives us more of what we've been asking for from this show. We get some more time travel. Though there are a couple of missed opportunities. I think the great Alcatraz thing is brilliant.
Yes.
Slipping that in there. But I also feel like, and I know it's been brought up because a lot of people were like, oh, they picked that date specifically. The lack of the Battle of New York.
Yeah, it was a strange year just to go for, wasn't it? And
yeah.
If I was watching one of the breakdowns, I think it might have been Ryan and Screen Crush, and his suggestion was he wondered whether there was a scene they might have written where she kind of recognised Loki.
Yeah.
And didn't go with him or something, and that may have been why they set it there.
Yeah. It's a very strange thing to pick that year and that place.
Yeah.
And not talk about it. We get the payoff finally with Mobius. That's such an easy slip. With the jet skis, we finally get an explanation.
The salesman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We didn't get to see him right on though.
No. Well, he kind of does, doesn't he?
Yeah, anyway, spank. Yeah.
But I like that. I don't even know where I'm going. I'm just trying to read through my notes.
Well, we see the with Sylvie as well. We saw she jumped back to the 80s, hadn't she?
Yeah.
For her reset, effectively. I thought it was a really good cool idea that he remains built that fail safe in where they all get kicked back to their old lives.
Yeah.
I thought it was a touch.
Yeah. Definitely. I did say poor OB gets another episode named after him. This time, something he says. But
again, what a great little sequence that was where he's in the bookstore. Oh, he's a writer. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But it turns out he's a self-published one. That was brilliant.
Yeah. But I also did say there's some great acting chops from Key in this episode. There's a couple of scenes where he has to expel a lot of jargon. And he gets through it really well, which you would hope from an Oscar winner that he would be able to do something like that. And he does. He's brilliant in this episode. It's just his character doesn't really go anywhere.
No.
It's kind of a dead end role, which is a shame. And especially, obviously, he took this role before everything blew up, I think. So, yeah, I do feel like there was a little bit more.
I suppose his role is kind of there to move the story along, isn't it? To push effectively Loki towards his story.
Yeah. I did want to bring up, I think it's incredibly harsh on Mobius in the end.
Mm. Yeah.
What a horrible story for him to then have to find out. That's what it was. That his life was really not great. Which is why he took the role at the TVA. A real shame.
He's a single parent, isn't he? And he's in a salesman's job. And
I did want to say again, Sylvie, up until kind of the end of the episode, is again really a side character throughout this season, and I think that's compounded here that she doesn't really have a lot to do until that final scene.
And she's still setting that opinion that she's got free will when she hasn't really, because, I mean, ultimately, I think, well, I don't want to skip too far to the next episode, but the way it ends, I think, was all part of the Remains plan anyway.
Yeah.
Everything was written effectively.
Yeah.
In her scene, when the chaos actually starts, how subtle it is.
Yeah.
With her McDonald's on the Jeep.
Yeah,
truck.
The whole thing is really well put together at the end. The whole record store scene is brilliant.
Oh, absolutely brutal, isn't it?
Yeah.
The customer that comes in is the first one to go, aren't they, in the background?
Yeah.
Bloody hell, it's going to hit her too.
Yeah, and then the whole thing with him pouring the tea and realising something's not right as he's pouring it is just Unbelievable. The other thing I wanted to bring up was we've talked about Casey throughout this, kind of not being what we expected him to be. There was a hint to something else, and we finally get that with the whole Alcatraz thing. I think that's a real payoff that we find out that he was someone.
Yeah.
Someone with a really awful background.
Something from real life, yeah.
Yeah. And kind of the reason why we had those glimpses of him when Loki went back to the past, to the early days of the TVA. And we said at the time, there is something more because there was such a change between him then, when Loki had gone back to the one that we first met at the beginning of the first season.
There are a couple of things I picked out as well out of that Alcatraz thing were great. They picked up on a few other places. But is that double use of the line about being gutted like a fish, where Loki says that to him in the first series, and then it's mentioned then in their escape, isn't it?
Yeah.
And did you realise who the other two guys with him were?
No.
It's the directors.
Oh.
It's Benson and Moorhead.
Oh, yeah. That's brilliant. We always like something like that, don't we? So that's really good. Yeah. And finally, we kind of get a glimpse of what is to come at the end of this episode for what Loki's going to come to, because he starts trying to bat the timelines away from himself at that point. When they started dematerializing, he was kind of pushing them away. Whereas, and we'll get to it in a minute, the end of the series is completely the opposite to that. And the last thing with this episode, and it's, I don't know how I've missed it, but I hadn't noticed that Victoria Alonso has still got an executive producer credit on this.
Mm.
Despite the fact that she's no longer with the company.
I guess it must be contractual.
Yeah, I would assume so. I just hadn't noticed it before. So moving on to episode 6, Glorious Purpose. We get that line come back. It's obviously a famous Loki line, one that's been used throughout the MCU.
I can't remember another show I've ever watched where they use the same episode title twice.
Yeah.
For the first and last episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really interesting. The first thing I wanted to bring up, and it's, how inappropriate is it at the moment? I don't know, because we're still in the throes of it. Was the repeated killing of Jonathan Majors a pointed thing at the beginning of this? It did seem like it was over and over again, and that it was him. We don't know. They're still in the mess. No one's any clue at the moment which way this court case is going to go, because they all keep bringing different things to the table that swings you one way to thinking that he didn't do what he's meant to have done. And then another one will come through and you think, oh God, he did do it. We're no closer to finding out. I think it's meant to be done by Christmas, isn't it?
I mean, I don't want to dwell on it too much, but in terms of just the narrative and the MCU, shame is the wrong word, but the talent that the bloke has that he's used in that show, if it's not there, it seems such a bloody waste that it's gone that way.
And this last episode, I think, is a real showcase of everything that he can bring to that role.
Yeah.
I think this is probably his best performance over everything we've seen so far. Real shame. Even both of them, Timely and He Who Remains.
Yeah.
Are really good in this final episode. But yeah, just really unfortunate.
Yeah. There's the way that they just, Loki gets stuck in a loop at that time as well, and then they just keep trying and trying and nothing works. And he's try all those different variations. And when he's in control of his time slipping, and
Yeah, definitely.
There's some really nice little moments with that. I like the one where he slips back to his initial arrest interview.
Yeah, very clever. Because, of course, we're not seeing Mobius in that form anymore. That Mobius is gone.
Yeah.
We're not going to, I don't think we're going to see that version again.
No. No.
Unfortunately.
Very matter of fact guy, isn't he, at that point? That's that,
yeah.
older version. And they're not
Yeah.
friends at that point yet.
Yeah.
But it's a nice little scene in terms of Britain moving towards the end of the episode and what Loki realizes he needs to do when they talk about burden and
Yeah.
purpose.
Yeah.
And basically just reinforce the fact that the throne comes with a price,
Yeah.
and that price is separation from everybody.
Yeah, definitely. And I on that point, the Renslayer reveal as well, that she was there all along. She'd always been by his side, and he'd kind of shut her out.
Yeah.
I thought was a really great kind of reveal that I wasn't expecting. Because I thought, oh, they're
No.
just going to reveal that Miss Minutes was human or something at some point.
Yes. Yeah, I thought we were going to get something like weird like that with Miss Minutes,
Yeah,
that she
but no.
think she created, but.
Yeah, it was Renslayer all along. Actually saying that as well. Before we, obviously that's coming
That's
very
coming as
soon as
well.
well. And the
Yeah.
title has finally been revealed. After all the
Yeah.
changes, it is going to be Agatha all along. Not any of the other names that they've given us. It was all a ploy. A very clever one, I have to say. I think that was the plan all along, that they were going to reveal that it was Agatha all along. I thought it was really clever. But going back to Loki.
But yeah, so I was going to say with Renslayer, of course, and that last shot of hers was quite interesting, where she sat on top of the old sort of logo, like the floor, which that does suggest at some point that the TVA will be obliterated, or one version of it was obliterated or
Or
pruned itself.
is she waiting for Deadpool?
Yeah.
And because that's the rumor, that she's in that in-between world that we saw in season one.
Yeah.
Because of course we do know the TVA is coming
Yeah.
in Deadpool 3.
Because I know there's some schools of thought that it wasn't Eliath that was coming, that it might be one of the Kangvarians that was going to pick her up, maybe Ramatut, so maybe perhaps.
Possibly. Yeah. The next thing I wanted to bring out is the repeating. Once they actually finally get it to work, how proud Timely and Loki both are, only for it to fail again.
Yeah, and it's just subtle, and then he gets a little bit further as well,
Yeah.
and it still doesn't work, and it's nice that there's that loop within the loop story
Yeah.
as well. The whole thing is about loops
Yeah.
and predestinations, and
Yeah. We get some more hints to Secret Wars from He Who Remains.
yeah.
Talking about what is to come. I really like that. There was a few of them spread out through the season when they mention a major multiversal war
Yeah.
to come. I really like that.
Fact, those scenes with him pre his death were quite interesting. Sort of go
Yeah.
back and see that replayed from slightly different angles and stuff and everything. And
Yeah, I thought that was really clever, but only for him to then go, oh, this was what I was planning all along. I was never meant to
yeah.
die. I knew I wouldn't. I knew I would survive.
Yeah.
So I like that. And I have to say, at this point, I was starting to struggle to make notes, just because
Got
there's
lost
a
in the
lot of
story.
wrap and there's a lot of wrapping up and building
Yeah.
for the future in the back end of this episode.
Yeah.
So the story gets told kind of partway through. We
Yeah.
get the whole reveal that Loki is now ruling the multiverse.
And the way he does that, it's fantastic. That final sort of. Basically that same moment from Spock in Star Trek 2, basically that sort of realization of the needs of the many, and it's Tom's face acting in that moment where he realizes what he has to do is fantastic.
Absolutely brilliant. He's an absolute tour de force by the end of this.
The anguish and the turmoil in his face that he realizes there's only one way this is going to work. And I actually thought, well, how's this going to play out? What's he going to do?
Yeah.
And then when he sheds his old skin, I thought was quite nice.
Yeah.
The TVA clothes, because he's becoming something else. So I thought that was a nice little moment.
Yeah.
And then when he starts grabbing the, was he grabbing the timelines? I couldn't quite figure out straight away what he was doing.
Yeah.
Because the way it's all been shot, the timelines seem like they're so far out of touch that you're just standing on a platform watching them. Then all of a sudden he starts pulling them towards him. And this is going to be. And then, because they're all sort of dark, and then the seat forms out of the gold from the old palace. I thought it was great. And just that, and this, it's such a melancholy, bittersweet moment to realize that he's going to get his throne.
Yeah.
But it's going to cost him his relationships with other people. Because all through this last couple of episodes, he's told us he doesn't want to be alone. That's his greatest driver.
Yeah.
And that he realizes that he has to be, that for his friends to carry on and exist, he has to be alone.
Yeah, it all comes together. It's what this show and Loki as a character has earned over the last 15 years, that he deserves something like this to kind of finish off his story.
That's what's a bit sweet. He's got what he wanted, a throne, but he's also got what he didn't want, which is to be alone. And that realization that he can have both, basically.
Yeah,
but in terms of an actor's arc, it's just a fantastic arc he's had over these last 15 years.
Yeah, definitely. Then the final thing for me is the setting up of the TVA for Deadpool, because it leaves it as a complete open book again.
It was very throwaway, I thought, the reference to Ant-Man.
Yeah,
Ultimania. I think that sort of suggests that was their backup plans in motion there. The TVA will just keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
If they want to go in this other direction, depending on how the court case goes.
Yeah.
And you wonder whether there was some last minute sort of rewrites or something in there.
Yeah, there was definitely a couple of moments that felt like they weren't there originally.
Yeah.
But
because they sort of, he just sort of, they're that bit of trouble or 616 adjacent, and then they dealt with it. So that's where we're going. But I like the idea that that's their job now, because that's a bit closer to the comics, isn't it? They're more of a police force in the comic.
Yeah.
In the comics.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of possibly why they've changed, because the rumor was that Owen Wilson was in Deadpool.
Yeah.
But then that changed, and Matthew McFadden is now playing the main TVA agent.
Yeah.
In Deadpool 3. I think that's probably why.
They were getting something. I'm going to be interested in how they introduce him. That'd be quite interesting how that guy appears.
Yeah.
That'd be quite nice to see how that happens.
Definitely. And the rumor is that that's how Deadpool and Logan meet again. Yeah, is that they've already been captured.
The story would suggest that the way he gets arrested by the TVA.
Yeah. And Logan is in the cell next to him.
Hmm.
So, yeah. But there was also talk that they were kind of trying to recruit the best of the best to help them. So we shall see, but I'm not going to spoil it, because there are cameos coming up in Deadpool 3 that kind of makes you lean to somewhere else. Yeah, and I'm not gonna spoil that. It's just not worth it. All I will say is they aren't groundbreaking cameos. But this has completely set up Deadpool. But I suppose we better wrap it up. We always give our final thoughts.
Well, there was one thing I was just going to mention, was basically the pull out, basically the timelines, is basically looks like Yggdrasil, doesn't it? The tree of life and the tree of the world.
Yeah.
But the only thing I didn't quite get is why some of the lines at the top were purple and the ones at the bottom were green.
Yeah.
Each were green.
Interesting.
And I couldn't quite figure out how that works in terms of timelines. Like, are they fledgling timelines at the roots or something? Or
possibly, yeah. I'm sure we'll find out more in the coming years. But as I say, we always wrap up our thoughts when a season ends. And I'm going to take this off as Loki has definitely been the best TV series that Marvel have produced since they started doing MCU. There's no doubt. I know it's the only one that we've had two seasons for, but it was good after the first one.
Probably say I preferred series 2. in terms of the story in the end?
Yeah, I think so. I think the first one had that love story, which got completely axed in season two. And I think that's possibly why Sylvie was such a sideline character, because really there wasn't a lot for her to do at that point.
Yeah, and we got a bunch of nice sort of supporting characters as well in this one. And we saw Brad coming to the fore, and we saw Obi and
Victor.
Victor as well. So I think that was good as well. There was a lot more of that going on. And we saw Renslayer got a bit more to do as well in this one. Like you say, it is funny that Sylvie was kind of sidelined a little bit, wasn't she? I mean, series one was more of her series.
Yeah.
Series two, she was there sort of just almost in the background at times.
Yeah, I think season one was there was a lot of kind of gazumping moments, wasn't there? Like the introduction of classic Loki and alligator Loki and things like that, where this tried to tell its story.
Yeah.
A bit more linear.
I think the series one had more sort of, oh, cool kind of moments like those with the prince.
Yeah.
But the second series had a little bit more jaw-dropping moments, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Like
bombing the timelines in this episode one, was it, I think, and stuff like that. Yeah. And then the squishy box, I want to call it.
Yeah.
Stuff. And there was a lot of, oh, shit moments in series two.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I'd agree. I think over the two series now, I think it edges out WandaVision for me. It's probably the best show that they've done.
Yeah.
It's had two series to sort of play with. And there's the stuff that's going to come behind that has got a lot of work to do to get to that sort of level.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So that wraps up our thoughts on Loki season two. And I would guess Loki as a whole, because I believe that's it now for Loki. Loki will be back on the big screen at some point in the next few years.
I think he'll be going back to Secret Wars, don't we?
Yeah, definitely.
I've got mixed feelings about that, because he's got a proper arc ending. And if you suddenly undo all that in Secret Wars, it's going to sort of feel a bit cheap.
Yeah, I still don't think he can be the overarching villain. No. There's got to be some trigger that means he does it and has to let go.
Yeah, something's got to be able to release him without chaos, isn't it? I think that's what's going to happen.
But that wraps up Loki. We will be back, hopefully, before the end of the year. As we said, we do have What If Season 2 starting in around a week's time. I'm sure there will be an episode somewhere in between Christmas and New Year, wrapping up the first few episodes. And we're going to try and do it. I think we said three episodes.
Three episodes, I think three, because it's nine episodes series, isn't it?
Yeah. So we'll do three an episode for us. They are daily. So that's much easier to do, because they are all going to be there at once. We don't have to kind of wait for them. We'll do three episodes after the first three. So we said just after Christmas, so probably maybe the day after Boxing Day or the day after that for the first one, I think. As I am away Boxing Day evening, and I know you're out as well.
I'm out of the house for a couple of days, Christmas Day, Boxing Day as well.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll be able to wrap that up day after Boxing Day or the day before to get that first episode of What If Season 2 out for you guys. And then we'll try and do another one probably just after New Year.
And then someone probably similar with Echo. Echo's a weird one, because it's only five episodes. It's kind of neither here nor there, really. So.
Yeah, and all dropping at once. So, a bit easier. We'll probably just wrap the series up as a whole rather than do individual episodes for that.
But there's only five episodes. It's probably a bit easier we can do that.
Yeah, exactly. So that wraps it up for live action Marvel TV and film for the year. We will be back to talk What If next week. But those of you listening, have a great Christmas. And we will see you just before the new year.